5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we are looking at this passage of Scripture, there are very specific things being mentioned. Many of them we covered last week. One of the things that we see him putting down here is the way the hypocrites pray. You have to remember that there is man-made religion who will have the name of a deity up there, but man is ultimately the God. You following me on this? Their man-made religion had a name, Zeus, Baal, whatever have you. But ultimately what it was about mankind looking good and serving the flesh. So you had man-made religion where it was practice that centered around mankind. Then you've got godly religion, serving Yahweh, the God as he is. And to that, we do not make a show. To that, we do not bring attention to ourselves. Why? Because my relationship with God is not a form of entertainment for anybody else. My relationship with God is about God. Think about any relationship you have with anybody. You focus on them. That's what a good friend does. You don't have people around you because you're bored and you want people to think you're amazing. At least you shouldn't. You have people in your life because you want them in your life and you care for them. That must be how we look to God. Consider this. The first recording of human history of conversation between man and God is what? Adam and God walking in the cool of the day through the garden. Folks, that is what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. When we stand in front of, when we stand up in church and we pray, it is us coming as a congregation to acknowledge God's presence and to praise him, to call in and make requests as a corporate body, as a church. We call upon God and we speak to him. What is the difference between that and other things? Well, there's the hypocrisy. There's praying to be seen. There's praying for attention. And then what else did he say? It wasn't just for getting attention to yourself. It was vain repetition. Vain repetition. Almost any other of the Babylonian-based religions came down to repetition of simple words. It is where we get the idea of incantations today, where they would stand over and they would repeat the same things over and over and over. And what did God tell the Israelites not to do? Don't partake in this world's religion. And all the devil has been doing since the day we fell has been to try to institute gods and have those gods and have us move closer to that way of worship. Consider this. If I were to go to a more Roman-flavored denomination and they were to tell me to pray, what would my prayers be? Repetitious and multiple. Why? Because in a large amount of words, you will get attention. Do you want to know why many Christian religions or sects have repetition in their prayers, even though the Bible tells us not to? Because in Baal worship, that's how they did it. You had particular incantations or particular words that you would say, and you'd say them over and over and over again. You want to know why? Because they believed that Baal slept. They believed that Baal would crawl into the underworld for a period of time. They believed that Baal would die. And through the repetition, they would get it. He would get the message. So they would repeat it again and again. Now think back to Elijah and that great big contest between him and God. They spent all day repeating the same things to get Baal's attention. They cut on themselves to get Baal's attention. And every religion since Baal has used that repetition. Every man-centered religion has used that repetition. What did God say? God said, don't pray like that in the Old Testament. What does Jesus clarify to us? Don't use these repetitions. In my family, I try to get that across. Listen, if you tell me once, that's enough. Right? Because some kids, they get excited about stuff. Can I go outside? Can I go outside? Can I go outside? Can I go outside? What are you, a chihuahua? Get out of here. Just repetition, repetition, repetition. It is the basest form of our expression of excitement. Repetition. Think about any time you've seen people lose their minds. Maybe Publishers Clearing House rolls up with a great big check. Repetition, 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 repetition. It is man-centered. It is sin nature-centered to do these repetitions. As a matter of fact, a lot of the problems that we have today with social media has the same problem. Quick bursts and then repetition, repetition, the flipping of a thing, the changing of a thing, the transitioning of a thing. It does something to the sin nature. It does something to the mind. And I believe that science has long known it, but they're not saying anything about what this stuff is doing to us. No doubt your mom knew exactly what she was talking about when she said that the TV would rot your brain. And now we've got even worse than the television in our pockets. Repetition, avoid it. Avoid repetition. It's no good, is what the Lord says. Speak to me like I am real. I mean, think about it. Who do you say the same words over to over and over and over again? And that's your main form of communication. Who do you talk to like that? Nobody. We don't communicate that way. But many people, that's how they communicated to their stone gods, to their fake gods. And they had to repeat. Why? Because it didn't seem like they were listening. And that was the joke that Elijah was telling to these people. Say it louder. Maybe he's dead. Say it louder. Maybe he sleeps. They even had to believe that Baal would go into the underworld. Hey, maybe he's away. We are not to pray that way. To do anything other is to substitute what God has asked us to do for the worship of another deity. Go ahead and get your wife something for Christmas. The woman you dated before you married her would have liked. Go ahead and tell her that that's what she would have liked. But don't call me if you need a couch to crash on. We wouldn't do that. But that's what the Israelites were doing, and that's what a lot of people who wanted to follow Christ were doing, is they were taking what was popular in the day. They were trying to conform Christ to this world. But my friends, we're not even supposed to be conformed to this world. So we need a different idea of prayer. And he says, this is the model. And the model that he says to the Lord is very conversational. It's not, if you look at the words that the Lord uses here, they are not complicated and tricky. I've got some books down there written by men who have very fine degrees. And they write like they've got very fine degrees. I've noticed that there's a lot of men who write about the Bible far more complicated than the Bible was written. It's very clean. It's very clear. I don't need to sit here and try to decipher any magic that is within these words. It is simple. Our Father, which art in heaven, it is an address. Lord, we are speaking to him. We discussed last week about how when we address him, we put respect and worship in the conversation we are having. Hallowed be thy name. We understand that when we talk, we want to make it very clear to him that we are in submission to him, and we will stay in submission to him by saying, "Thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as it happens up there, so will I do. And what you say it, I'll do it. Your way, I'll agree with it." We do not argue against God. I believe we looked just at the end of last week, and forgive me, I'm a little fuzzy as to where we left off, but give us this day our daily bread. What is it that we looked at in Philippians chapter 4? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Giving in the reference of how they were giving to support Paul, he would then go on and say, "Listen, as God takes care of me, he'll take care of you." And that's how God does it. God sees us in a parental way. God sees us as he is our supplier. So, and wherefore, we need to treat him as though we know everything we have comes from him. Why? Because the things we have here on earth, your daily bread, is not an easy thing. I want you to consider this. Consider what you had for dinner tonight. Tonight we had some kind of chili. It was really good. Looking at that bowl of chili, I was staring at that bowl of chili, I was just kind of thinking, well, I need a cow. Right? I would need a cow, I'm going to need some tomatoes. There's got to be a farmer who's growing tomatoes. And beans, there was beans in it. So somebody's got to be harvesting beans. And then somebody's got to be harvesting the corn. Everything, down to the spices you put in your food. You shook some salt over your food. That is 1,000 different processes in and of itself. You following me? There's the breeder, the farmer, the butcher, the truck driver, another truck driver, a processing plant, people who work in the processing plant, a bagger, a stacker, or whatever. By the time it gets to the grocery store, it has passed through so many different hands, and then you, who have worked at a different company outside of this ecosystem, which relies on 100 other different things, you come in with that money that is the produce of a bunch of other different things, and you buy it, you bring it home. Thanks to the car maker, thanks to the parts maker, thanks to the die caster, thanks to all of those people. You still with me? And then you go home. Thanks to the builder, the contractor, the architect, you go to the stove. Thank you for the inventor, the builder, the shipper, the plumber, the guy who runs the gas company, the electric company. Keep going. And then you put all these ingredients, which again, thousands of different hands, and you put that stuff together and you put it in a pot. Oh yeah, and by the way, thanks to the person who made the forks, the knives, the plates, the whatever. And if you've got a dishwasher, forget about it. You following me? Your daily bread is not easily come by. You pull a significant number of the cogs out of that machine and you're hungry. You're hungry. You could have the food, but no power to start your stove, if you've got an electric stove. You can have all the electrical accoutrements, you can have all the cookware, you can have all the things, but no food. You can have all the things at home to do, but you lost your job, now you don't have the... You can have all the good hard steak that you want on earth. Oh man, you're going to have a steak dinner, Dennis pulls all your teeth. You following me? When we realize the complexity of the things we have, we become more grateful and more willing to go to God over it. Please do not pray for your food because you're about to eat and you need to pray for your food. Honestly contemplate the majesty of God's power that he got that stuff in front of you. That not only were you able to afford it, but you've got the wherewithal to be able to process it after you eat it. There's a lot of different things. So what do? We remember we must go to God and say thank you. There are people who go without. There are people who do not have. There are people that struggle and suffer, and maybe you've been there. I pray that if you've been there, you've never been there again. You'd never be there again. And if you've never been there, I pray you never know what it's like to sit there and have to beg. I don't know what it's like to sit on the side of the road with my hat out, begging for someone to put money in there so I can go and buy the cheapest food I can and bring it home to my family. I don't know what that's like. We need to be glad. We need to be glad. Because even then, with $5 worth of ramen, you go home and you feed your family. Even then you could praise the Lord for the $5, for the grocery store, for the kindness of strangers. Because we could even go without that. One of the worst things we could ever say is, well, it can't get worse. Because you know what? It should be. It should be worse. When you think about this. You go to the store. Danielle asked for a snack. She wanted an Oreo cookie. So I went down. You ever go down the cookie line? Talk about God blessed America. Oh, yeah, by the way, can you pick up some cereal for the kids? There is a whole row of different ways to decide how to get sugar into your children or yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just a lot of options. Ice cream. Pizza. You could freeze that stuff, have it later. We need to thank God. You know why we're not so easy to thank God? Because we have an abundance. And that's what I was saying on Sunday. Sometimes it is out of that abundance we forget how nice we have it. We forget how nice we have it. In a world of dollar menus and fast food and coupons, we forget the richness around us. So what do? I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Why? Because that's who it comes from. It's who it comes from. Used to be they'd sacrifice people down there in more savage parts of the world. They would sacrifice people, lay their bodies out into the fields in order to grow as a sacrifice to their pagan gods. Mine just causes it to grow. Not a drop of my blood necessary. See, that is the God we serve. That is who God is. That is the only God. Therefore, He is the only one we go to. The only one we go to when it comes down to asking for those things. Never forget the blessing it is to sit down at a meal. Never forget. So we ask Him, Lord, please. Now, part of that asking is because we are asking. The other part is we are acknowledging both to Him and to ourselves, we know where the food comes from. We know where the blessings come from. You read about great famines and great droughts and terrible things that have happened in other countries. When was the last time your ability to feed your family has been affected by the food chain? I got grumpy in 2020 because it was hard to get certain foods, but there was foods, right? Where's all the chicken breasts? Well, who's taking all the chicken? Where's all the chicken going? But there was food, right? We need to acknowledge to God that we understand where our food comes from. He says next, forgive us. Hold on, let me make sure I'm there before I go quoting it wrong. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now that's a hard one, isn't it? He could have left that out. He could have left that out. Forgive me the way I forgive others. Now, many of you sit there and say, well, brother, I don't have a problem with forgiveness. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to tell you you're wrong. And I'm going to say that absolutely most people have a problem with forgiveness. We were even pulling up to the church this afternoon as we were getting ready. Well, this evening, we were pulling into the church and somebody was pulled right up behind me, a big old black Cadillac right up behind my minivan. And I hit my turn signal because I was getting ready to go. I don't nail the gas between Francis and the church parking lot. I come in there, I barely get to speed, I hit that turn signal, and I turn into the church parking lot. They did not appreciate this interruption to their fantastic giant car driving life. And he didn't just get into the other lane and kept going. He did that thing where he swerved around me, got right up in front of me, and just kept going. And in my heart, I decided that what I would do is instead of forgiving him, I would punish him in a way he would never know about by getting angry at him. I sinned. His afternoon was not affected whatsoever. He has probably already forgotten about me. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for what I did. Now, should he be sorry? Absolutely. What a rude and terrible way to behave yourself as a grown person out there in public. We don't have the heart to forgive that we think we do. We have a heart that wants to inflict. Well, I won't talk to him for 7 years. Let's see how they feel about that. What does it do? Forgive him. Well, first other people need to know how bad they are. What does it do? Unless you actually need to warn them about things, like you went into their store and they were selling something and it was like 2 years past its expiration date and you went to go return it and they were like, oh no, all of our food's past the expiration date. Get over it. Then you go tell people. There's a difference between warning people and, well, I heard that they did this, so I need to tell 7 other people because it's a prayer request. See the difference? I don't need to tell a bunch of other people just to hurt them. I need to forgive them. Most people have an issue with it. And it's important for us to be on the lookout of it because we all seek our own vengeance. What does the Lord say instead, though? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or as he would say later, those who trespass against us. When we ask that, Lord, please forgive me for the first time, would be one way to pray for it. If somebody is lost and they need salvation, they would go to the Lord for the first time. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. We're talking our sin nature. We are talking every sin that has come up to that point. Lord, please forgive me. That's the salvation prayer. That's asking for the big forgiveness. All right, well, that's it. I'm done, right? God forgives all my sins. I wish it were true, but let's face it, it didn't take you long before you sinned again. Well, what's the big deal? The debt's paid. The debt's paid, but the insult remains. The debt's paid, but the insult remains. That, Lord, even though I know what it cost you to save my wretched soul, I still did it again. So what do? I'm sorry, and I take steps to turn away from it, and I ask God to help me turn away from it. Amen? That's what we do. So there's that. There's the first time you ask for forgiveness. There's the every time after that you ask for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me. And let me just add this note in there. If you are one who is often asking God to forgive you for your sins, especially if you're asking God multiple times to forgive you of a certain sin you keep committing, I want you to start taking your actions more seriously. We have to be more purposeful. There comes a point where we've got to hold ourselves to a purposefulness and a deliberateness, right? We have to be deliberate in our behavior. A lot of people you catch doing something they weren't supposed to do, they'll say this, I wasn't thinking. You ever do that? You get caught doing something? I wasn't thinking. There's two ways to have an accident. One is recklessness, and not thinking, that's recklessness. If you're insulting God because you're not thinking, that is a level of recklessness that's going to burn you, right? That is talking on the cell phone and eating a sandwich while driving level of recklessness. Someone could die. Be serious about what you're doing. Always be thinking. There ought to be a reason. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit there and we stress ourselves out, but if you're doing it, you better be thinking about doing it. It is important that we try to stay as vigilant and not daydream through life. We need to treat our lives as though what we do within them matters because it does. So there's that first part, forgive us our debts. And then there's the difficult part, which is as we forgive our debtors. Because we've read that before to where if we don't forgive others, he's not going to continue to forgive us. Well, that doesn't matter. I don't have to answer for my sin when I walk into heaven. You do got to look God in the eye. And the stuff that you would bring to him as a form of reward, that's going to decrease because you've got sin in your life. That's the difference between the two things. The wood, hay, and stubble, or the gold, silver, and precious stones. If you have wood, hay, or stubble intentions in the gold, silver, and precious stones things you do, it's going to come out wood, hay, and stubble. If I do things to get attention, it's wood, hay, and stubble. If I do things, if I try to serve the Lord and I've got massive sin in my life, it's going to come out wood, hay, and stubble. You could put all the elbow grease and all the desire to please God into it you want. But if you are not right, it is going to come out wood, hay, and stubble. I think a lot of people who do a lot of good are going to be really embarrassed before the Lord when all we have to give them, or all we have to give the Lord, is nothing. Why? Because we did so wrongly. I need to forgive others. I need to forgive others. If you will take your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, there was a reason why Peter said seven times. It is linked to other parts of Scripture. So he wasn't completely off the reservation. But remember, when Jesus came on the scene, he fixed the formulaic problem. There was the law, and then there was actual obedience. Right? The law is, like many people sit there and say, all right, well, I'm not going to speed in my car while the police are around. I pick on my brother for this. He used to, for the longest time, have one of those radar sensors in his car. And he would not speed when the radar detector would go bleep, bleep. The problem is this, is I think he got his like on sale because it didn't always work. Seven times. All right, I'm going to forgive you seven times. And after the eighth, you're dead to me. That's formulaic. That's the law. But Jesus wanted more than just obedience to the law. We needed actual behavioral change. That's why it went from seven times. That's why it went from having an affair. That's why it went from being not committing murder. That's why it went from those things to don't even look at a woman with lust in your heart. Don't even be angry at your brother, because it's the same as murder. A practical application of the obedience to God. So it wasn't just seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And this was the servant who owed the king a great debt. And the king said, all right, well, this is how we're going to solve the debt. We're going to take him. We're going to put him somewhere. We're going to sell off his wife and children. And he falls down on his knees. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. And the king says, all right, I'll forgive your debt. And we say, what a wonderful king. And then that man goes and hops, skips, and jumps off. And he's got somebody who owes him less money than he owed. And he grabbed him up and put him in prison. And the king found out about it. And what happened? He called him back and said, you owe me. And he ended up bearing the brunt of that punishment. Folks, God is serious about our forgiveness of others. And we need to realize how futile letting that poison stay in your heart, is. What does it do to have all that anger and all that hatred well up in your heart? Do you think you're hurting them? You're suffering for no reason. You are suffering for no reason. It is us being hurt or wounded by another person and deciding that we are going to make it a part of who we are day in and day out, hoping that the other person hurts as badly as we do. Have you ever known that to happen? Have you ever known someone to suffer so hard and so long because of their unforgiveness that the person who hurt them suffers? I've never seen it. It does not happen. But what I have seen is people who hold grudges and people who hang on to past hurts. I have seen them wither. I have seen them suffer. And I have seen them lessen in both life and in their Christian walk. And I've known people who near completely collapsed because of unforgiveness in their hearts. So we must be forgiving. If we are to ask God to forgive our great debts, we must also be willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. And we understand them under multiple occasions. The Lord says, I will not forgive you if you hold the debts of others. The next part that we see here in our passage of Scripture, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Taking that first part, lead us not into temptation. That word temptation there has two biblical uses or two biblical definitions. One being an experiment, attempt, or trial or proving. To see if something is strong enough. And we've often referred to that as how God puts us through hard times, or not that he puts us through hard times, but hard times happen and God strengthens us through it. We would say, Lord, please help the day go well. Lord, please bless the surgery. Lord, please bless the trip. Lord, please bless the doctor's visit, the grocery shopping. Lord, please bless our trip home. Lord, please protect us from anything that would test us as people today. And we pray that all the time, don't we? You know, most likely somebody's going to pray that this evening. Give us a safe trip home. Now, the other way that temptation is used there is the more familiar way. And that is a trial of men's fidelity, integrity, virtue, or constancy. So, don't allow anything terrible to happen that would test my mettle as a person. Also, do not allow anything that would bring me to sin. Anything that would entice me to sin, don't let that come my way today. And is it okay for us to pray for those things? Absolutely, we're supposed to. We're supposed to ask God to calm the sea. We're supposed to ask God to make sure the sea don't kick up. So it is perfectly okay for us to pray to the Lord, Lord, these things that bring temptation into my life, these things that entice me to sin, I pray I not come across them today. You're supposed to pray that way. So which one are we talking about? I dare say the Lord probably means both. That we should pray that nothing comes our way that would be negative or bad for us. We should also be praying that nothing comes by to entice us to sin. That's how serious we need to be about our sin, is that we ask God to remove anything that would remind us of it in our lives. Lord, take the billboard down. Lord, close the bar. Lord, make sure that person doesn't come near me today. Whatever it is you need to pray for to keep that reoccurring sin or any sin out of your life, you pray for it. Think about this. When you go into the, well, it used to be when you'd go into the post office, you'd see those wanted posters up. Don't remember those? Why they put those there? So you know who the trouble is. And if you see that person, you can go, aha, I know where they are. Right, like that shooter for that CEO. You're there at McDonald's. Aha, I found him. Right? If you're not considering your sin like a wanted fugitive, that bad boy is going to keep getting into your life. If you can't tell the difference between your dog and a raccoon, you're going to have a messy kitchen. You following me? And many of us, we don't think about it. We just stroll through the day, la-da-da-da-da. Not contemplating the sins that have gotten us. Not contemplating the danger that comes our way because of them. Why? Because a little bit, we want it to be there. We want to a little bit. Because that's our pet sins. Those are the sins we love. I spent some time training dogs, and I understand how when you go to the grocery store, you go somewhere, and you see those people with the service animals. I know rule number one for service animals. What's rule number one for service animals? Don't pet them. They're working. But man, that's hard for me. We used to have a test that you would take, and if you could pass that test at PetSmart, you could go to an official person, and you could have your dog tested to be a service animal. And even then, man, there was this little dachshund this little girl had, and her mom and this little girl would come in, and they took them all the way through the class. And even to that day, I'm sitting there trying to get the dog to break, and I wanted the dog to break because I wanted to scratch his little ears. That's how we treat our sin. I kind of want it to break. I kind of want it to be there. I kind of want to see something like that today. And folks, that can't be our attitude. It's gotten too deep a hold of us if that's our attitude. If we're not willing to fight against it, if we're not disgusted by it, then we're going to have ourselves a hard time. It says here, but deliver us from evil. Now, we've talked about this on several different occasions. Evil has a few different definitions that would debate based on how we use it. Evil could mean natural evil, right? Bad things that happen, naturally bad things that happen. Illnesses, storms, what the insurance company would call an act of God. Anything bad that would happen to you in a natural way. That's been referred to in the Bible as evil. Then we have moral evil. Moral evil. That is where people are in purposeful opposite of what God asks us to do. That's hurting people. That's blasphemy. That's all the bad stuff in religion, right? All that evil, worldly, manly, humanism, all that stuff. There's that kind of evil. And we don't want either of it. We don't want either of it. Is it okay for me to pray that the adult entertainment business fails and everybody goes to jail? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Is it okay for me to pray that these executives who've been pushing cigarettes and alcohol, is it okay for me to pray that their business fails? I pray for it. Why? Because it's evil. Since it's just us chickens here, is it okay for me to pray that those that preach a false gospel lose their buildings and are no longer able to meet together? Absolutely. Wrong for me to act evil to accomplish that, but it's okay for me to pray that their voices are silenced. And the greatest way that I pray for those voices to be silenced isn't by violence, isn't by hurt or loss. It is by praying that God shows them what the Bible really says. This bad boy, written by for a sixth grade education. It is our sin that keeps us from understanding that book. Don't believe me? Try it. Read for a year, keep a diary. Keep a diary. Read for a year, keep a diary. What you did that day, what you read that day, and how well you feel you understood it. Anybody here, when you read the Bible, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody here, when you read the Bible, it's foggy? I'm going to tell you something. It's because there's something between you and the understanding of this word. Because the Holy Spirit's supposed to help you to understand it. It is not a complicated book. You're not reading it because there's a distraction in your heart. That's why before we read, we ought to ask God to forgive us our sins. We ought to make sure that there's no distractions in the room. Well, you know, I always read my Bible while I catch up on the news. What? While I'm cooking dinner, I like to clean out that vent, that hood vent fan. I like to just drop that down, clean that out while I'm cooking. Why? That's like a surgeon going, hey, while I'm doing operations, it's a perfectly good time for me to blow my nose. You got some fogginess in what you're reading. There's a heart issue. Unless you need readers, that's a different thing. But most of the time, if you're having a hard time wrapping your head around it, it's because you're far from God. Something that can be fixed like that. Something that can be fixed like that. There's no magic to it. Peter fell into the water. Why? Because he took his eyes off the Lord. How long did it take him to get his eyes back on the Lord? Just long enough for the Lord to reach down and grab his hand. That's all it takes. So challenge me on it. Read your Bible for a year. Take a diary for a year. I promise you, when I got into a fight with so-and-so today, got some bad news from whoever. Oh, yeah, argument with this person at work, blah, 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 blah. Man, reading was a hard time today. Even while you're writing it, you're going to sit there and go, I got you now. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The things that would stunt or block us from the things of God. Lord, please protect me. Lord, please protect my family. Protect my kids. Why do we get so angry about these cross-dressing book readers? Well, why would it bother you? Well, let's see. You have a hypersexualized man who wants to be a woman, who wants a private audience with my children. Here's an idea. Why don't I just let my chicken hang out with your foxes? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't I do that? I'm sure the fox has the best of intentions. Well, that's not a very... It is. I'm sorry. But when you've got somebody who's got that crooked version of sexuality, I'm not giving you my kids. I'm paying attention to history. I'm paying attention to things I knew from growing up. That's not how it happens. You see, when I grew up, we understood that if somebody is trying to show hypersexualized images and hypersexualized conversations in front of kids, it's because they're grooming them. We used to believe that in this country. We don't believe that anymore. Now it's, well, it's a choice. And I'm telling you what, we're knocking hard on the door of these people who want to do terrible things with children. We're pretty close to accepting them the way we've accepted everything else. No! Look at what we're doing! So I pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Well, it's very cruel to think that's evil. No, it is what it is. It is what it is. We were told when I was a kid, if someone's sitting there, if an adult of a certain age is showing you hypersexualized images, it is most likely because they're trying to get you comfortable with that sort of behavior so they can do something. And that's the way they have done it since the dawn of time. It is perverted, it is nasty, so we pray, deliver us from evil. We see so many things out in this world today. So many things that this world has said yes. Yes, this sounds good. Yes, we like this. And what do we bathe it in? Oh, it's compassionate. It's compassionate to the shark to give him your right leg. Happy swimming. It is compassionate to the viper to give him a place to lay his poison for a while. Stretch your arm out. That's what we hear. We have never seen the things that this world calls good come out and actually be good. It hasn't happened. And anything that this world agrees is good with us is most likely because the Bible already says it's good. Because the Bible already says it's good. You stole that. You can't have that. You want that? You got to get in with a God who owns that. Deliver us from evil. He follows it up or ends it with these very clear summational statements. For thine is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you presiding over the kingdom of the world. Heaven, earth, and anything else. Whether they believe in you, whether they think you are real, whether they bow down to you or not, you are the king of all things. And we acknowledge that to him. And in that summation of our prayer, we bring that back to him. Lord, you are in control of everything. My friends, it is nice to know that God is in charge of everything. I just got done with the book of Revelation, and I get to the end of it, and there's just this whole thing where you're like, whew, why are things the way they are? Because it's God's plan for it to happen that way. So-and-so has to be us here, and so-and-so, right? We have to have there's the devil. There's the Antichrist, that's the first beast. Then there's the second beast, the high priest to that person. And they've got to be there. And we've got to see a one world power in this. And we've got to see the collapse of this and the this and the that. These things that terrify us, we see in the book of Revelation, is just the Lord's going, we got to get there. It's terrible. I'm going to keep voting for Christian principles. You need to keep voting for Christian principles. But I'm not going to sit there and go, because we got to get there. Now, if this happens tomorrow, if this happens in 1,000 years, I'm in for the ride, man. I'm not going to be there for the whole 1,000 years. But I'm in for my part. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, I can't believe what they're doing. What a terrible world. Oh, this is just nasty. I've been there a few times where I've said, even so come, Lord Jesus. I've been there a few times where I've looked over at my wife and said, we got to leave this world behind. But you know what? We're on this thing. We don't fret. Why? It's His kingdom. And if He didn't want it, He'll take care of it. We have seen that before. Oh, did you see that person? Oh, they're really coming into power. Oh, wow, what a great influence they're beginning to have. Oh, they died. How'd that happen? We've seen these things, so don't stress. Thy kingdom, thine is the kingdom. Father, this is yours. Here's another thing we need to say to the Lord. For thine is the power. It's good to pray to a God who you know could answer that prayer. Ain't nothing to the God that hung the stars. Ain't nothing to the God who keeps the earth spinning. I mean, again... just to try to contemplate the physics involved is beyond my mathematical ability. And He keeps it going. You know, the scientists are now saying, well, you see, what's going on is the core is getting colder, or we're shifting in this and in that. Should terrify you. Well, what's going to happen? And there's Neil deGrasse Tyson. Well, we don't really know. There's me. Lord stops this ball, He'll stop this ball. There ain't nothing we got to do. There ain't nothing we can do about it. There ain't a disease. There ain't a problem. There ain't nothing that can happen on this earth that God cannot do something about. And if He says no, we trust His wisdom, because it's not as though He can't do it. As a father, I hate when my kids have problems I can't solve. That's what I love so much about God, is no such thing exists. So for thine is the kingdom and the power and what? The glory. The glory doesn't belong to man to sit in a high, poofy chair with a giant fish-shaped hat. The glory is not for a man to pull up to church in a limo, to go back to his $1 million office and sit in his $500,000 chair and just be venerated by the people. Oh, did you know that the senior global pastor is coming today? And, oh, look, do you see he's got a new suit? Yes, it's Armani. I was down there. My dad works at the shop. My dad was measuring him. Says that suit cost many thousands of dollars. The glory does not belong to us. We pray for God to do things. It works out the way God. It works out the way we asked. We don't get to go around and say, oh, what a clever boy I am. What was that? Put in his thumb. Who was that? Put in his thumb, pulled out a plum. Said, oh, what a good boy am I. What was his name? You know he didn't bake that pie. You know little Jack Horner didn't bake that pie. But he still pulls out that. You're sitting there going, brother, that's not what it means. You're out of your mind. That's not the Bible. I only know the Bible. Leave me alone. That's what a lot of people are doing. God is working and we're going, well, you know, what do you do when you're me? Get down on your knees and you thank God for what happened. I do things for His glory, and when things happen, I give Him the glory. Why? Because going back to the first thing, he's down to the daily bread, guys. He's down to the daily bread. So what do? When we pray, we have a conversation, and we treat God like who He is. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we're so grateful for these things that we've been able to see over these last few weeks.